so badly a million-dollar baby. Hey-o! Happy Friday, North America. It's Pat Boyle with you here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram, both at PatBoyle44. Talked about the Broncos' ugly Thursday night football win over the Raiders for most of the first hour of the show. 10-7 goes the victor. 2 goes the spoils. How does that phrase go again? Either way, 7 wins in a row for the Broncos. Their offense, though, has to figure it out before we take this team seriously as a contender for the AFC Championship. The defense is historically good. They've got 18 more sacks than the second place team in the NFL in that department. Nick Benito is a monster. He should be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And remember, Pat Surtain, the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, has been hurt now for the last two games, and their defense still is cooking. But Bo Nix and the offense in the first three quarters, I just don't know what happens to them. I don't know what the game plan is. They struggled. Sloppy play, turnovers, drop passes that result in interceptions. Horrible game calling by Sean Payton on first and second down in this game. But they get the win. They're 8-2. They're unbeaten at home. I picked them before the season begin to win the AFC West. I still think they do, but they still got to play the Chiefs twice. And if this offense performs the way it has for most of this season in the first three quarters, the Chiefs will sweep them and they will overtake them for their 10th straight division crown. And for the Raiders, is it time for a quarterback change to go to Kenny Pickett? And I think Chip Kelly should be one and done as the offensive coordinator of this team. Phone number to join, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. Coming in up in an hour, our buddy Zach Gelb will join us. Our season-long picks competition has hit week 10. 3 picks each against the spread. Zach had a 4-game lead on me 2 weeks ago. It's down to 2. Look out, Zachy. He's getting scoops on Urban Meyer, and he's letting the picks go by the wayside. Look out, Gelb. In 20 minutes, we'll do Boyle's Best Bites, and it's a Friday edition, so get your best food bites of the week submissions ready. Pictures of something you chefed up this week, and it was so damn good, you had to take a picture of it. Video, whatever you guys got, we'll take it, man. You guys went out to a local restaurant, and you want to shout them out, send in your best food bite submissions, because we're going to do that in about a half hour from now. And you can get those to my Twitter at PatBoyle44. But let's start taking a look here at some of the biggest games coming up this Sunday in the NFL. And we got a great slate of games. We've got a tasty, tasty slate of games that should have you at least locked into one or two games in every single window. First off, in the 1 o'clock Eastern window, we've got Ravens-Vikings. And it's season on the line every week for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. They're going to go into Minnesota to take on J.J. McCarthy and his alter ego, whatever the hell that was this past week. And the Vikings are trying to stay in the mix for the NFC North. The Ravens are trying to stay alive. That's going to be a great game, massive game. We'll talk about that one a little bit later on. You've also got the Jags and the Texans with Houston season on the line and no C.J. Stroud ruled out for a concussion. It'll be Davis Mills with the season on the line against Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Both of those teams trying to keep up with Indianapolis in the AFC South. That's a big one. We talked about that at length yesterday, and I said I wouldn't be surprised, despite how bad the Texans' offense has been, despite Jacksonville beating them 17-10 back in Week 3, don't be surprised if Trevor Lawrence gifts this game away to Houston, if this Texans defense single-handedly wins the game by themselves with 3 or 4 turnovers and they win a game like 13-10 or 16-13. And then you got a big one in the 1 o'clock Eastern window. Both teams are above 500. The Patriots at 7-2 in Tampa to take on Baker Mayfield and the Bucs at 6-2. In the 4 o'clock Eastern window, you got a rematch of a thriller from a month ago on Thursday Night Football, where the banged-up Niners went into SoFi Stadium and took down the Rams, where the Rams gave that game away, fumbling at the goal line before Mac Jones and company sealed it in OT. Rams at 6-2, Niners at 6-3. Sunday Night Football, we've got two teams that are above 500. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers at 5-3 go to SoFi Stadium to take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers at 6-3. And then we've got a dandy on Monday Night Football. The reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles at 6-2, taking on Jordan Love and the Packers at Lambeau, coming off the upset loss to the Panthers. The Packers are 5-2-1. So let's get into some of these games, shall we? Let's start with the Patriots and the Bucks. New England undefeated on the road this year, and Drake May has been a top 10 quarterback this season. And I've got him ranked in my quarterback rankings at number 9 this past week, which we do every Wednesday on the show. He's been great. He's been really damn good. Getting Mike Vrabel in here as the head coach, bringing in Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. It's like we got the Tom Brady gang back together again, right? McDaniels calling the plays, Mike Vrabel, the head coach. And for the first time in a handful of years, there's a lot of belief in Foxborough. There's a lot of belief the Patriots can win the AFC East, that they can hold off the Bills. They already beat them in Buffalo on Sunday night a month ago. And that this team can actually be a playoff contender, that they can be a contender to get to the Super Bowl, that they can dethrone the Chiefs, that they could beat the Bills if they play them again in the postseason, that they could beat the Ravens if Lamar Jackson and company are able to get there. The defense has been great. The O-line, despite having some issues the last couple of years, it's blocked well enough. And you got a bunch of these receivers like Kayshon Booty. Arg, me Booty. He's played great. Stephon Diggs has been great in his first year in New England. DeMario Pop Douglas coming off a big game on Sunday, but Drake May has been the anchor to it all. I'm not trying to be a hater on Drake May. And again, he has been great this year. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in all of football this season. But this game on Sunday, against the Todd Bowles blitz-happy defense with how well they've played this year, this is a game that I need to see Drake May go on the road and win before I take New England seriously as a team that can do something, that can do some damage in the playoffs this year. The Buccaneers are coming off a bye. They're banged up with injuries. Chris Godwin, all of a sudden, now we find out injury news last night. Chris Godwin might not play again until mid-December. There were some reports that this fibula injury that he's got not only is most likely going to keep him out of this game, which would be his fourth straight missed contest, but there's a chance they put him on IR and he wouldn't play again for at least another month. There's a chance that happens. Not official yet. Mike Evans has missed most of the season, likely going to miss the entire regular season. And their running back, Bucky Irving, he's been banged up with whatever the heck's going on with his foot. He's missed the last four games. He hasn't practiced again at all this week. He might be out for this game on Sunday. So Tampa Bay might be down. Their top two receivers, we know Mike Evans ain't playing most likely the rest of the regular season, and they might be down their top running back again. And yet Baker Mayfield, who has cooled off a little bit, I mean, can you blame him when he's doing it with a ragtag bunch right now? Baker Mayfield, who has played like an MVP in the first part of the year, has still put the team on his back, and he's got him to a 6-2 record, and they're in position to once again win the NFC South for what, the fifth year in a row? But to me, this game comes down to Drake May being able to be a playmaker and lead the Patriots to a win against Todd Bowles and this Buccaneers defense, who are coming off the bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots, who grinded out a win against the Falcons on Sunday. Drake May is going to see a lot of pressure in this game. He's going to see a lot of exotic blitzes. He's going to see a lot of pressure dialed up that he hasn't seen yet this season. And like I said, I'm not trying to take away credit from what the Patriots have done this year, but they've had one of the easiest schedules in recent NFL history. Not just this year. They've had one of the easiest schedules in recent NFL history. They played the Raiders in week one and lost. And Drake May was terrible in that game. They played the Dolphins in week two, the Panthers in week four, the Saints in week six, the Titans in week seven, the Browns in week eight, and last Sunday they played the Falcons. Could you ask for any easier of a schedule? This is a different test. This is going to be a tougher test than he has seen almost all season long. And again, the Bucs defense has had 2 weeks to prepare for him. And on top of that, the Patriots have some issues of their own. on the injury front. Ramondre Stevenson, their top running back, he hasn't practiced all week so far yet. Toe injury that kept him out of Sunday's game against Atlanta. Ramondre Stevenson trending in the wrong direction. And Kayshon Arg-Mibudi, he hasn't practiced yet this week as well. He's not trending in the right direction to play after he got hurt early on in the game against Atlanta. So Drake May might be down his number one running back and his number two receiver. But if the Patriots go to Tampa Bay and lose, it's going to be a speed bump in the road, and I think it's going to be, for me, my takeaway would be, look, Patriots had a great win against the Bills earlier in the year, but Buffalo is going to overtake them for the AFC East, and I don't see the Patriots winning a playoff game. That's the way I kind of feel about it right now, but I would just sound like a hater when they're 7-2. But that's the way I truly feel. It's the way I truly feel. Drake May's done a lot of good stuff. He's been great with his legs. His decision-making has been awesome. It's one click for the first read, two clicks to the second progression. If it's not there, he's taken off and he's running. And he's using his legs even better than he did last year. He's already run 5 more times than all of last season, and he's on pace to run for more yards than he did last year and double up the rushing touchdowns that he had from a season ago. And he's run for 50 yards or more in 2 out of the last 3 games. Like, he has been dangerous. His decision-making has been really good. He has added an extra element of touch to his game. Like, the beautifully lofted ball that he threw to Pop Douglas back on Sunday, that's a great throw. He's unlocking more and more throws in his arsenal that he just did not have last year, where it felt like it was just, let me rip it 100 miles an hour and hopefully I put it in the right spot. He's playing with a lot of confidence. The O-line, his left tackle, the rookie Will Campbell, who they drafted out of LSU, has been great. And the Patriots have been a dangerous team so far. But I just want to reiterate how soft of a schedule they've played. So if they win this game in Tampa Bay on Sunday, I'll say, hey, all right, they're earning it. They're earning the respect that maybe they still don't have from people like me. Drake May's earning the respect. Maybe they can hold off the Bills and win the AFC East. Maybe they can be dangerous in the postseason. Hell, maybe they can go on and get a top 2 seed. But the schedule for New England, it's been historically easy. And you know, after this game against Tampa Bay, you know their next 3 games are against the Jets, the Bengals, and the Giants. And they still play the Jets and the Dolphins again in the last 2 weeks. Like, regardless of what happens on Sunday, the Patriots should be able to win 11 games just because their schedule is so soft. But 11 wins still might not even be enough to win the AFC East. This is a massive game for Drake May and his development. This is a measuring stick game, right? We all love that term. It's a measuring stick game here for the Patriots. Meanwhile, for the Buccaneers, this is also a huge game. And as somebody that picked the Carolina Panthers before the season to be the surprise team in the NFC and win the NFC South, these injuries are continuing to mount for Tampa Bay. I just mentioned about Chris Godwin. There's a chance they might put him on IR. He might miss the next month. Mike Evans ain't going to play the rest of the regular season. Bucky Irving, I don't know what... That foot injury is treacherous. He's on track to miss his 5th straight game. And the reports that I'm seeing from him about him and the injury doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Tampa Bay loses this game on Sunday. As impressive of a win as it'll be for New England, it then puts the Buccaneers in a precarious situation because the Panthers are 5-4 and they play the lowly Saints this week. And that's a trap game if I've ever seen one, by the way, for Carolina. They got to take care of business first. They win that game, they're 6-4. Tampa loses this game, they're 6-3 with the next 2 games being the Bills and the Rams, both on the road. Oh boy. Dave Canales and the Panthers will be grinning ear to ear if they're a half game back of the division lead after Sunday. That's a possibility the Bucs crumble here because those injuries to their star players on offense, they're starting to mount. I mean, they've been mounting. But even then, with the rookie Tez Johnson starting to have a role in this offense, the rookie Cameron Johnson starting to have a role in this offense, and the way the defense has played, big Vita Vea swallowing up so much, interior run from the other team. the way that Jamel Dean and Zion McCollum and the guys have played in the secondary, it's, you know, they continue to be one of the oldest defenses and a veteran team, and yet Todd Bowles continues to find a way to get this defense to be successful week after week after week. And if they find a way to win this game again on Sunday, it'll be mightily impressive. And they're favored in this game. The Bucs are 2.5-point favorites. And this is a Tampa Bay defense that has given up a decent amount of yardage. They're in the bottom half of passing yards allowed per game. They're in the bottom half in passing yards allowed per game, but their identity is still being able to stuff the run. And they're top 10 in the NFL in that category. So is this a game where if New England struggles to run the football without Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson's on IR, so you're going to see a healthy dose of the rookie Travion Henderson, but if they can't run the ball, like, it could be 30-35 passes on Sunday from Drake May. And against the Buccaneers defense with Todd Bowles, who loves to dial up those blitzes, it could be feast or famine. So don't be surprised if Baker finds a way to put this team on his back again on Sunday and lead them to a win. But this is a game where one team comes away the winner and you're feeling even better about them. The Buccaneers win it. You're feeling like no matter what, they'll be able to win the division. And you'll have plenty of question marks about the Patriots being a legit contender, like I said. And yet if the Patriots win, like I said, maybe the conversation really starts to shift in, okay, how deep can this team actually go in January? Has Drake May really started to enter the MVP conversation? And if Tampa Bay loses, it's, are they going to crumble? And is Carolina going to overtake them for the division? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And then Rams 49ers, 425 Eastern in Santa Clara. And there's a lot of similar storylines to this game as well. Remember, it was Thursday Night Football a month ago when the Rams were almost double-digit favorites at home with Mac Jones starting, missing several of their receivers. It was Kendrick Bourne and DeMarcus Robinson as the top two options in the receiving core for San Francisco. George Kittle was on IR. It was Mac Jones and Christian McCaffrey and, you know, an island of misfit toys in the receiving core. And yet, San Francisco went on to win that game, stunning the Rams in OT. Look at this NFC West. Seahawks are 6-2. The Rams are 6-2. The Niners are 6-3. I think whoever wins this game is going to go on to win the division. And that's, again, no disrespect to Seattle. Their defense has been awesome. That pass rush with Leo Williams has been spectacular. Mike McDonald is a stud of a head coach. And I've been beating the drum for Sam Darnold for the last 2 years. Love what he did last year in Minnesota. And the Vikings decided, 14 wins? Yeah, you know what? We're going to go to J.J. McCarthy, a kid that didn't play a single snap in the NFL yet and is coming off a torn meniscus in his rookie year. And he's gone to Seattle, and he has balled the hell out again this year. I still think that the Niners and the Rams are a better football team than the Seahawks. And for Kyle Shanahan, this might be the finest coaching job he's ever done in his NFL career. All the injuries they've had. Brandon Ayuk has still not made his season debut yet, and he might not for another couple of weeks. George Kittle, like I said, was on IR, missed a good chunk of the season. Brock Purdy, I don't know when Brock Purdy's going to be under center again. He was limited in practice again. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Mac Jones again on Sunday. But Brock Purdy has only started 2 games this year. So with Mac Jones playing 75% of the games this season and all the injuries that I've mentioned, Nick Bosa done for the year, Fred Warner done for the year, the Niners are still 6-3. This is the best coaching job Kyle Shanahan's ever done. And so whether it's Mac Jones or it's Brock Purdy again on Sunday, this is a game the Rams cannot afford to falter and trip up like they did on Thursday night a month ago. They cannot afford to lose this game. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of football fans, a lot of people that work at this station that keep telling me, oh, Pat, you're not giving enough respect to the Rams. This team can win a Super Bowl this year with Stafford turning back the clock, leads the NFL in touchdowns, right in the near the top, right in the top three in passing yards. This Rams team, they are a dark horse. You're not giving them enough credit. If the Rams lose again to San Francisco on Sunday, I don't want to hear any more about this team being a Super Bowl team. I don't want to hear it. You know what the game plan is for San Francisco, and McVay and Shanahan know each other better than maybe any other two coaches in the NFL know each other. You know what the game plan is going to be. It's going to be a steady dose of Christian McCaffrey probably getting 30 freaking touches in this game on Sunday. It's going to be the outside zone scheme run game that San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan have become famous for. And it's a defense that's missing its top two stars that are done for the year. And the Rams got revenge on their mind. Niners fans came into their building and took it over on Thursday night a month ago. And now they're going to go on the road and play them in Santa Clara on Sunday. Puka Nacua is coming back. The Rams are about as healthy as any team in the NFL can be right now. They have had such little injuries. They cannot afford to falter and lose to the Niners again, whether it's Mac Jones or it's Brock Purdy playing quarterback. Rams have to win this game. And if they do, I think they'll ultimately go on to win the NFC West. If they lose, I don't want to hear about the Rams being a Super Bowl contender. And the Niners, you can say, well, the injury bug continues to follow them no matter what. And maybe that might be true. But I still got a lot of confidence that Brandon Ayuk's going to be coming back to make his season debut soon. I think they're playing it smart and resting Brock Purdy as long as they possibly can until they feel like he's 100% with that turf toe injury. And I think once the Niners get healthy, look out. Like, you better get him now. Because once we hit December, if this Niners team is healthy and they got Ayuk and they got Purdy at 100%, they're going to be a tough freaking team to beat. They're going to be a wagon. So the Rams got to get him on Sunday. They got to get revenge. They have to get revenge. 888-710-4ISN. Phone number to join the show. 888-710-4476. When we come back, Boyle's Best Bites on a Friday. You know what that means? Get your best food bite submissions into my Twitter at PatBoyle44. But we'll start, as always, with the best sound bites from yesterday and in the week of sports. That's Boyle's Best Bites. It's coming up next right here on the Pat Boyle Show.
The best sound from the day in sports and the best food of the week. It's Boyle's Best Bites.
Hi, welcome back to the Pat Boyle Show. This is Boyle's Best Bites, and like I said, it's a Friday edition, so you know how we do it. We do the best sound bites first, then we do the best food bites of the week. You chefed up something, you were so proud of it, you had to take a picture, you had to take a video. Send it to me on Twitter at PatBoyle44. I'll repost it. We'll mention it over the air. I'm going to post mine in about 10 minutes from now. If you went out to a local restaurant and you had something that was so delectable, again, the phone had to eat first before you did, send it to me at PatBoyle44. But let's hit the best sound bites first. Let's get to Jalen Phillips, newest member of the Eagles, traded at the trade deadline from the Dolphins. Jalen Phillips is thrilled to be in Philly.
I mean, I thought I was excited day one. I mean, talk to me now. Like, this is literally the greatest thing that's happened to me in my whole life, probably. But it's just awesome. I mean, the guys are awesome. Everybody's been super welcoming. I love the environment here. I love the vibe here. The city of Philly's, you know, giving me a very warm welcome. I got about 20 times the amount of Instagram likes that I ever got on a post before from the Philly fans, so shout out to y'all. But yeah, it's been great so far, you know, getting out there practicing. I love the weather here. Love the locker room. Everything's awesome.
How about that? Imagine being so beaten down by the Miami Dolphins organization that getting traded to the Eagles is the greatest thing to ever happen to you in your life. But can we stop lying? Can we stop the cap? You love the weather here? Jalen Phillips went to Miami. He went to Miami. He's been a Dolphin. There is no better weather than Miami, my man. I know in the summer it is hot and humid as hell, but you are in Miami. You know what it's going to be like for the next couple of months in Philadelphia? It is going to be bitterly cold, freeze your ass off. Like, I hope you like wearing Under Armour, because that's what you're getting. You like that kind of weather, I guess. I mean, I'll take the 80 degrees year-round. You know, you could spare me the 25-degree days in January. And also, the Philly fans are great, yeah, until you have, you know, maybe a three-game streak without a sack, and they'll be booing your ass. But all jokes aside, look, Jalen Phillips is going to have an opportunity to game wreck here. Because he's playing now on the same front seven that includes Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, the first-team All-Pro from a year ago. And so, even when teams were game planning for Jalen Phillips, because he was one of the best players on Miami's defense the last couple of years, he still was able to get 6.5 sacks last year in only 8 games before he had the season-ending injury. And or that was 2 years ago. Last year was the season-ending injury. He only had 1 sack. This year, he's got 3 sacks in 9 games, and he's got an opportunity to be a guy that is another Howie Roseman steal of a trade. Let's move on. Here's Garrett Wilson. Speaking of trades, he was not traded. His teammates Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner were. And the Jets receiver, who is injured right now, and is, let's see, I don't think Garrett Wilson is going to be, he's got a chance to play this week. He was limited in practice on Thursday, but Garrett Wilson has missed the last 2 games. Either way, Jets receiver shocked by the trades they made.
I was shocked, man. I was shocked, and obviously, you know, just kind of a reminder of the business that we're in, and for me, and kind of just, yeah, just I would say that, just a reminder of you know, this game, and not taking, you know, the times you get to play with your boys for granted.
Yeah, and look, even further than the trades, the Jets then demoted Quincy Williams, Quinnen's brother, to a backup role, which I don't know. Look, there's nothing that describes that and nothing that explains it to me other than that the Jets are about to tank hard. And so, look, at least Garrett Wilson's got a number 2 receiver now because A.D. Mitchell from the Colts came over in that trade for Sauce Gardner along with the 2 first-round picks. And maybe Alan Lazard doesn't suit up on Sundays anymore, which is like a mini Christmas miracle in of itself for Jets fans. But Garrett Wilson is got to be thinking, man, I got to stick through and suffer through another rebuild now with this team. And remember, there's a chance Garrett Wilson might not be on this team come next year as well. If they traded Sauce Gardner the offseason after they paid him, I don't know how safe Garrett Wilson's future is with the Jets. Although I would think if they're going to draft a quarterback in April, you need a foundational number 1 receiver to pair with a young quarterback. Garrett Wilson signed a 4-year, $130 million contract back in July, and he was also asked, do you wonder about your own future after these trades?
I don't ever worry about or think about security. I know what it is when it comes to this league. None of us have, you know what I'm saying? You got security, but like the reality of this game and when days like that come, it just reminds you, you know, go out and prove yourself every day on this field.
Yeah, and that's a great mindset to have, and I feel for Garrett Wilson, man. He has not had good enough quarterback play over the last couple of years, and he has still found a way to put up some incredible seasons in his 3.5 years in New York. 1,000-yard season every single year. That's going to be tough to do because he's already missed 2 games, and he got hurt in the beginning of that game against Denver, or he got hurt at the end of the game against Denver and only had 3 catches, but he's a special receiver, man, and so I hope that the Jets are able to get their number 1 quarterback, their franchise quarterback in the future, because Garrett Wilson will get the respect that he really deserves if he's got a great quarterback throwing him the football every single Sunday. Here's his former teammate, Sauce Gardner, now a member of the Indianapolis Colts, getting ready to play the Falcons in Berlin in Germany this weekend. Sauce Gardner making it clear he never requested a trade.
No, I've never asked for a trade. I don't think that's something that I will ever do, you know, because it's a blessing to just be able to play on Sundays, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, that's what make it even much more beautiful, you know, going through those tough times, those rough times and things like that. And then, you know, things could change in a matter of a night.
Yeah, Sauce Gardner never requested a trade, but you got to be thinking he's in heaven right now because he went from the 1-win Jets to the 7-win Colts, and now he's got a chance to compete for a division crown and maybe a Super Bowl with that Colts offense, how well they've been cooking and Jonathan Taylor running the football, and a Colts defense that has been pretty good this year too. Lou Anarumo has reinvented himself, getting run out of Cincinnati, and look, they've been even worse this year, the Bengals defense, while the Colts defense has been pretty darn good. And once Charvarius Ward comes back, the other top corner on this team, You got to think that Sauce Gardner is going to be able to be put in a position to really succeed when they can move him all around the field, have him play in the slot, have him play in zone coverage where his length becomes a problem. But I'm not going to write his career off, but it's clear that he was never going to be the all-pro caliber corner that he was his first two seasons with the Jets. Dare I say, overrated. Guy that can't tackle, consistently gets called for holding and defensive pass interference. He's got a chance to prove a lot of the doubters and the haters of the last 2 years wrong now that he's playing with a team that is winning. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, when we come back, I'll let you know my best food bites of the week. We'll finish off with a couple of other best sound bites from this week and so much more here on the Pat Boyle Show. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back after this update from Marco Belletti.
The best sound from the day in sports and the best food of the week. It's Boyle's Best Bites.
Welcome on back to the Pat Boyle Show. We've already got one best food bite submission. No picture, and that's fine. Look, some of us are not millennials like myself or Gen Z like Connor Armstrong, and so you don't need to take a picture of your food. You just eat it. But I mean, we do the segment for a reason, and so I'd like to see what the rest of North America is grubbing on during the week and how good chefs we have throughout the continent or how good of local restaurants we have. So we'll do that in just a moment, but let's finish off these best sound bites here. Let's get to Chuck. Charles Barkley. Maybe the most asinine thing I've heard all week. This is via the Dan Patrick Show. Charles Barkley calling LeBron old and saying he hopes he retires soon.
LeBron's not out there. You said that he's got an old guy injury.
He's just old. Everybody gets old. He says a sciatica. You know what that means, Dan. Yeah, I know his back hurt. All old people back hurt. Dan, all old people back hurt. You can dress it up like a sciatica. You can come up with all these medical terms. LeBron is old.
Yeah, LeBron is old. Thank you, Chuck. LeBron's 40. Okay, he's in his 23rd season in the NBA. You know what LeBron did last year? He finished 6th in the MVP voting. Averaged 24.5 points per game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, shot 51% from the field, his second best shooting percentage in the last 6 years. The free throw percentage went skyrocketing up from what LeBron had been the last couple of years. And we got to a point, his first couple years in Los Angeles, LeBron was under 70% for the free throw line. Last year, 78%. And he shot 38% from deep. The second straight year that he shot 35% or better. And he shot 41% from deep 2 years ago. LeBron is not a top five player in the NBA right now anymore. He's still one of the greatest players of all time. Second greatest player of all time for my money. And last year, he was still competing and performing at an all NBA level. So let's cool it, all right, Chuck? I know sometimes you even think you got to say stuff for clicks. And look, I mean, is he wrong? Is sciatica an old guy injury? Yeah. Like, LeBron is like, I wouldn't say you and me. I don't have sciatica. I probably will maybe in 10 years when I'm 40. But he's like a lot of you listening that are in your 40s or your 50s. You deal with sciatica. You deal with some back pain. Yeah, LeBron is just like you. But you know what? When LeBron comes back, he's still going to be dropping over 20 points per game and playing at an all-star caliber level. So, you know, Charles also went on to say that he hopes LeBron retires before he becomes a shell of himself. He's not going to be, okay? Because there's nobody that has taken better care of their body, maybe outside of Tom Brady, in the history of sports. The hyperbaric chamber, the guy is still an Adonis at 6'9", 250 pounds, shredded out of his mind. And again, he was 6th in the MVP voting last year. LeBron could probably still play at an all-star caliber level for the next 2-3 seasons. It's just a matter of whether he wants to or not. So let's relax, but, you know, before we start retiring LeBron before he even gets there. And then finally, something that is no shock if you saw the video that actually came out months ago in May when this happened, where you see Antonio Brown running through basically backstage or wherever this happened in the confines of an arena after a celebrity boxing event in Miami and fired off some gunshots. He has now been extradited from Dubai and arrested on attempted murder charge. And this is courtesy of CBS Miami and their report on the Antonio Brown arrest.
Also breaking tonight, former NFL star Antonio Brown is now in custody and being extradited to Miami. That's according to our news partners at the Miami Herald. Brown was reportedly arrested in Dubai in connection with a shooting that happened outside a South Florida boxing event earlier this year. In a social media post the day after the incident, Brown said he was, quote, jumped by multiple individuals who tried to steal his jewelry and cause physical harm to him. Video showed him appearing to hold a gun, and seconds later, gunshots were heard. The 37-year-old is wanted on an attempted murder charge.
Yeah. And again, that video was on social media months ago. I don't know if you could still search or seek that out now because it's probably investigation. It's part of the evidence of a murder case. But this is just the latest chapter of the very sad fall from grace that Antonio Brown has seen taken over his life here. I mean, he's been very open about it on social media. I mean, joking about it most of the time about having CTE. But he could end up in federal prison because of this. You know, I get it. Somebody, if he did get jumped and they try to steal his, I mean, that doesn't give you permission to then allegedly take a handgun from a security guard and then try to shoot somebody. So, yeah, we'll see how this one ends up. But are we even surprised? Are we surprised in the slightest? Okay, let's get to the best food bites. I've posted mine on my Twitter at PatBoyle44. Oh, man, is there nothing better to go with Monday Night Football than some takeout? Than some takeout Japanese food? Because I was in heaven on Monday night watching the Cardinals beat the Cowboys. I had a nice teriyaki chicken platter with fried rice and veggies. You know I had to get the spicy tuna roll, which is like hands down the goat of goats of sushi rolls that you could get. Spicy tuna at the top. Everybody else is second, and it's not even close. And then I got an order of pork dumplings. And like those meals that you eat, and you can't help but just smile. You feel the little fuzzies inside. That was me on Monday night chowing down on some takeout sushi and teriyaki chicken while watching Cardinals and the Cowboys. Connor Armstrong's filling in for Pete the Body tonight. Connor, you got best bite here for the week?
Yeah, so I was actually in heaven on Tuesday night right after you. So I've been fortunate enough to have New Haven pizza multiple times because I went up to school in Quinnipiac, which is about 15 minutes from New Haven. So I was up in the area earlier in the week, able to pick up some New Haven pizza, Frank Pepe's pizza, legendary pizza spot, White Clam Pizza. It is the greatest pizza I've ever had in my life. Recommend it to anybody listening. And you, Pat, if you haven't had it yet, I highly recommend Frank Pepe's White Clam Pizza.
The White Clam Pizza, that could go south really quickly, but if it's done right and you get it fresh out the oven, that's a good wild card. And I was just ranking all the best sushi rolls of all time. You rank the best pizzas. I don't know if you're going to find many people putting White Clam Pizza in their top five, let alone their top three, but what's this place called?
It's called Frank Pepe's. It's in New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. My brother works at Yale, so I can't imagine that's too far.
No, yeah, not at all. It's probably only like 10 minutes, probably.
All right. There we go. I'll have to take a trip up to Yale and check that puppy out. All right, we've got some listener submissions. No picture on this one, but Dave at David_all103 tweets in, made my mom's broccoli cheese casserole tonight because it's one of my girlfriend's favorites and we always have it at Thanksgiving. And then he said, want to know what your top three Thanksgiving side dishes are. In the annals of bad radio history, that is the thing to do Thanksgiving week, right? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? What's better? What if you're not having turkey, what are you having? But since Dave asked me, I figured I'd let him know that I am a carb monster on turkey day. So it's mashed potatoes, stuffing, and it's mac and cheese. And then the biscuits, probably number four if I had to get there. Not a lot of greens eaten by Patty Boyle on Thanksgiving. I'll tell you that much. And then we got David M. Lally Sr. who tweets in, venison steaks and salad. Wow. I don't think I've had venison in years. That's a hell of a choice. Hell of a choice, David. And they look good. In the picture that he sent, which I just reposted on my Twitter at PatBoyle44, that thing looks great. Seashell Pipes tweets in, as an MJ Wade guy, totally agree with everything you said about LeBron James, about LBJ. Yeah, you know, again, there's been a lot of questions. There's been a lot of debate from basketball fans over the last, over the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Are the Lakers actually better off without LeBron James? Look at their 7-2. Look at what Luka and Austin Reeves have done. The Lakers are in top 10 in offensive efficiency. Yeah, I mean, they've got a chemistry right now that looks really good, but who are we kidding? The Lakers better off without LeBron James. Let me know when you take a first-class trip from delusion land, from fantasy land, back to reality here. They're right, they do have a good chemistry, and I wonder, you know, if LeBron is going to play more off the ball than what he's used to, because the offense should run through Luka. But the Lakers are also in the bottom 5 in turnovers per game right now, and so they've got a very erratic offense that Luka has been able to save them from because he's scoring 40 freaking points per game. All right, when we come back, our buddy Zach Gelb joins. He'll give his picks. Boyle versus Gelb, 3 picks each against the spread, our season-long picks competition, week 10 in the NFL. It's coming up next on the Pat Boyle Show.